Hi, Sue Hall here, and welcome to the 10th podcast in our fourth series of Talking the Dis Out of Dyslexia, hosted by the whole Dyslexic Society. On March 27th, 2021, TEDx Bear Creek Park livestreamed 12 talks, and I was privileged to be one of the speakers. Today, Grace Sinatz is with us. She was definitely the youngest speaker at age 15, but by no means the least experienced, quite the reverse. Her talk was entitled How Young Voices Build Strong Democracy. So welcome, Grace.
Thank you for having me.
It was my pleasure, I tell you. Grace, when I heard that you were in favor of lowering the voting age to 16, I automatically thought, nah. Then I listened to your talk and I was sold. It was very clear with great arguments. So I guess we could start at the beginning. How old were you when you entered the political arena?
Oh gosh, I think ever since I'd say the fourth grade, when I didn't get super involved, obviously, because I was 9 years old, but in the fourth grade, what really actually got me into politics and is the reason why I kind of ended up doing all of this is that my fourth grade teacher assigned us an assignment, write a letter to any politician anywhere in the world, doesn't matter. And me being the kind of nine-year-old who's like, well, I like trees and the Green Party likes trees. So I'll write to, at the time, leader of the Green Party, Elizabeth May.
Yeah.
And kind of like a couple weeks later, my teacher said, don't expect responses. It's just letters, put it out there.
Yeah.
And I had a knock on my door and I hear from downstairs, my mom going, Grace, I think Elizabeth May is here to see you.
No.
So as a nine-year-old, I'm like, okay. And like now being older, I realize how ridiculous that was. So she came in and she said, Grace, I loved your letter, handed me a response and said, I'd love to talk with you about what you wrote. And I wrote a little bit about how we need to save the bees and like the Kinder Morgan pipeline was a big issue back then.
Yeah.
And we had like an hour conversation in my living room about like all these issues that I really cared about. So I kind of started to think, okay, maybe my voice can be heard if I just try. And then over the next couple of years, I didn't really do much until the ninth grade when I just responded to a social media post of someone saying, hey, does anyone want to volunteer for the Green Party? And I was like, I did stuff with them in like the fourth grade. Sure, why not? Which then led me to a series of like the most fortunate events of just being in the right place, the right time, meeting amazing people and getting more and more involved. And now 2 years since I started my first campaign, I've worked on five campaigns. I just got hired to work on my sixth. And yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. I love Elizabeth May. And this sort of ties in with your talk, because in England, you know, your parents voted Conservative, you voted Conservative. Your parents voted Labour, you voted Labour. And so when we moved to Canada, I knew nothing about the political situation here at all. And I thought to myself, well, now it's time for me to really make up my mind according to what I enjoy. So I've been voting Green. And everybody says their vote doesn't count and all that stuff. But the thing is, if everybody keeps saying that and not voting, it's never going to count.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, in like the fourth grade, my parents were both staunch NDP, had been voting NDP their entire lives. So I came into that class and we did a class election. I was like, I'm running for the NDP. And by the end of the class, I was with the Greens, and now both of my parents vote Green. And I definitely, around election season, go, I told you so. I was 9 years old and I told you so.
I love that. But what a fabulous thing for that lady. She must be so busy, but to take an hour at least out of her day to come and talk to a nine-year-old, that's pretty special, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was shocked. And even thinking about it to this day, I'm like, how did that happen? Like, Most people don't believe me when I tell the story, and I'm like,
I know. Well, the listeners don't know this, but my mouth was open when you started to say that. It was, that's just a beautiful story. You couldn't have a better start than that.
Even in the Green Party, people ask, like, how did you end up here? And I'm like, you're not going to believe me.
I love it. I love it. So I guess I'm going to have to ask this one. Have you ever met Greta Thunberg?
I actually have. I haven't properly met her, but last year, obviously pre-COVID, there was a strike in Vancouver, and me and a bunch of friends from that first political campaign I worked on all went over, and I was asked with a friend to do media for Greenpeace Canada. So we got to be kind of like in the media pit, and she ended up like coming to talk to us. So I didn't really get to talk to her, but being within 3 feet of her talking was pretty insane.
So what's the age difference between you two? How old is she now?
I think she turned 17. I think she's almost 18. So three.
Just 3 years. Yeah. It's remarkable what she's done. That's for sure. So you went on this climate strike that was in Vancouver.
Yes. Yeah.
How did you feel being in that crowd?
It was like, honestly, kind of shocking. Like, I had been to climate strikes in Victoria previous, and this time I was kind of going with people who would then become organizers in the like climate action group here in Victoria that I work with. Mm-hmm. Going with them and kind of being involved and understanding how the events work, it just blew my mind, kind of like the mobilization power that young people had. Seeing that the MCs, who I didn't know at the time, but now I know very well, are just teenagers like me, and meeting the Vancouver Climate Strike group called the Sustainabilities. And they're all my age or only like a bit older. Some of them were younger, and being 13 years old at the time, this is insane. Like, I didn't realize that we could do this. I thought this was, you know, for the adults. Because going to climate strikes and not being involved, I kind of just saw the adults organizing things. I have a couple young people, but it's not organized by them. No way. But it is. And that kind of blew my mind. And it's something now that I kind of am used to for doing it for 2 years. But that first experience of seeing young people in power was insane for me.
That's remarkable. And I find that incredibly uplifting and encouraging. Do you suppose the majority of people who took part in that climate strike were roughly your age group? Or do you think they were
a good mixture? There's shockingly, at that particular event, there was like 250,000 people there. So it was a little insane. But for like climate strikes in Victoria, there was actually a lot of adults and people who brought their kids, and also a lot of seniors who are the most supportive. In Victoria, we have had like a coalition of adults that kind of helped us out, and they were incredibly supportive as well. And yeah, honestly, the crowd is really mixed. I don't think there's one group that dominates it.
Well, that's encouraging too. Now, I was reading about you. What is an Earthfest? You went to Earthfest.
So Earthfest is an annual event hosted by Francis Littman's organization, Creatively United. And usually it's in person, so it's kind of like a conference type thing, but last year it was online, and it was kind of this panel series that happened over Earth Week, and I was invited to be a speaker on a panel of young people who were all talking about essentially how we think that we should save our own futures, you know, and what kind of young perspectives.
Now, who was the audience for that event? It went out online.
Yeah, so I think it ended up being about 1,200 people. And funnily enough, that is the event that I kind of linked when I was applying to be a TEDx speaker. So that was kind of my, here's me speaking. It was a bunch of young people who most of them had worked with in the past, but a couple of them were new faces. And we all just kind of talked about what we feel about the current climate activism movement and how we think the next year, 2 years is going to go.
And is that where the Oak Bay panel came in? Is that the panel that you were on?
No, so that was actually a different panel. That was for an event. Climate Reality is an organization that essentially does these presentations across the world to present facts and what climate change is and how we're going to fix it in short presentations. It was created by Vice President Al Gore, and he essentially made it so climate education is more accessible. So every year they do like a 24 hours of climate action event. And it's where across the world, there's 24 straight hours of climate reality events, depending on the time zone, but it adds up to 24 hours. And that was a panel I did with former BC Green leader, Andrew Weaver.
Grace, I don't know how you do it. You do go to school, right?
I shockingly do go to school, yes.
Oh my. And what grade are you in now?
I'm grade 10.
Grade 10? Oh my goodness. Yes. God, you've got to stay at school for 2 more years and you've got all this information inside of you.
You know, even at school, my friends joke because right now I'm taking 2 grade 12 level courses and they're like, Grace, you need to slow down.
That's amazing. I'm in awe. I never had that much energy when I was in grade 10. I know that. You also have part-time jobs, is that right?
I do, yeah. One of my jobs is just classic teen restaurant job in Victoria. And the other one actually is the political campaign I just got hired to work on. And essentially, I'm a youth campaign manager, which is pretty cool because out of all my campaign experience, it's all been volunteer until just recently. So that's really exciting.
This is remarkable. In your school, do you see many of your peers involved in this sort of political arena or climate change or?
Yeah, so my school, Claremont Secondary in Victoria, actually has a kind of specialized program that's unique to just this school, and it's called Institute for Global Solutions. And it's a program that I found coming up from grade 8 into grade 9. And essentially, it focuses on global solutions, and it's a combined socials and science interdisciplinary style course. So using the science aspect of, for example, climate change or just other current events and combining that with social impacts and how we can use history to educate the future. And that's a program that I've been involved in for 2 years now, and I plan to do 2 more years in it while I'm still in high school. And within that class, we do have tons of class discussions about climate change and other social issues and political issues. And a lot of my friends are really involved with that as well. I think there's a common stereotype in almost every interview I've ever done. I kind of get the comment of, oh, you're so much more involved than everyone else your age. And there's this part of me screaming, honestly, I just am visible. Like, whenever anyone asks how I got involved in things, I just say I was in the right place at the right time, met the right people. But there's so many of my peers that are like just as engaged and have the same amount of anger and passion about the climate and about our futures. Honestly, like there's a shocking amount of young people that I think more than most people think.
And you seem to be gifted with a way of being able to express yourself, which perhaps they might not have much, you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely really lucky in the sense that I have always kind of had a knack for public speaking. So yeah, I think that I can be heard easier than others. And that's kind of honestly a large part of the work that I do, making sure that other young people who don't have the same desire to kind of speak out still have the opportunity to be heard. And that really ties in with the voting age and that kind of thing.
Yes. Is that genetic? Does one of your parents have a knack for public speaking?
I don't think that it's public speaking per se, but my family's always been very loud. And I honestly think that's just because we all have ADHD. And that's like a big part of how I grew up. I was only recently diagnosed, and so are my parents, but obviously we've had it for our entire lives. So our family's very loud, very extroverted, so I think that definitely helps.
And that makes total sense to me, because I don't think you could have a CEO of a big company. I don't think you could have somebody who's involved in as many things as you without that ability to multitask, really. And I like to think of ADHD as a positive thing, that you are an incredible multitasker and you can spin loads of plates all at the same time. Obviously, people attract a negative spin to that as well, but I think most of the Forbes 500, well, most of those CEOs have dyslexia, which is in the same bracket, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That explains a lot. Well done. Do you see yourself becoming a politician in the future?
I think, honestly, it depends on kind of like the political climate of when I am ready to do that. Being so involved within like the Green Party, I have definitely a lot of people kind of waiting in line to the second I turn 18 to be like, go run right now, be a politician. And that's kind of existed for like a couple years now. And I worked on a campaign of an 18-year-old in September, which was wonderful. Her name was Kate O'Connor. And I think definitely we'll see kind of what it looks like once I'm no longer in high school, maybe once I have a degree, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, I hope that the political universe is becoming more and more accepting of young people in the space.
Would you like to touch on that point about bringing the voting age down to 16, or would you like people to watch your TED talk, which is amazing, by the way?
I mean, obviously, watch my TEDx talk. That would be great. But I think that when most people hear, oh, lowering the voting age, they think of the lazy teenager sleeping in their bed, not doing anything, you know, doesn't do the dishes on time, won't take out the trash, is mean to their parents, has no free thought, and just plays video games all day.
Yep.
And I never use myself as the example because I'm the worst example for how teenagers are. But I also say, maybe look at what those teenagers are looking at on their phones. Like, I know I'm a big user of TikTok, which is an app that probably most teenagers are at least familiar with, in Canada at least. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge community of young activists and people sharing messages and information and passion. And it's so much more than just the standard teenager watching mind-numbing Netflix, and it's actually really enriching and I learn a lot from it. It's a big resource for me, at least in like my own learning. It's a very easy way to access information. And there's so many things like that that teenagers use these days, and what we're learning in school, that sure, we might sleep in till noon. It kind of ties into like, there's this big stigma around, oh, teenagers can't do anything, but we've proven that we can. So lowering the voting age will not only makes sense, it also provides an opportunity for equity. 16-year-olds pay taxes, but we don't get to vote. So that literally disobeys what our country was almost founded on, taxation without representation. So I think that lowering the voting age, I mean, you said at the beginning, oh, when you first heard that, no way. Mm-hmm. Then you listen to it and you're like, oh, of course. If you get informed, almost everyone I've talked to about lowering the voting age, they say, no. And I'm like, do some research, come back to me in 3 days. Yeah. And I get a text saying, oh my God, you're right. Absolutely. It's a more palpable concept once you get to know what it actually means. And I think that that's so important.
Well, it's totally different world because mm-hmm. 4-year-olds know how to work every part of the computer these days. I mean, it's a world where technology is the way that everybody communicates, right? Yeah. Especially with COVID, obviously. So Grace, with all of these wonderful things that you've done already, do you have a greatest aha moment? Do you have something that really stands out for you?
I think honestly, it kind of ties into what I just said about the voting age and understanding that teenagers are different, because I had a moment where I realized that I'm not a lazy teenager who sleeps until noon. Yes, I slept until noon yesterday, but I'm not that person. And that happened actually when I decided to apply to give my TEDx talk. Oh. And I was sitting in my room in early October, not doing anything of any note. And on YouTube, I saw a TEDx talk called I'm 17. And it was this 17-year-old talking about her experience as a young person. And I kind of sat there, oh my God, that's so cool. She's so young and she can do that. That's crazy. That's bonkers. No way that could ever happen. And then I just sat there for a second and went, why can't I do that? And then I was like, no, Grace, what are you thinking? But then I thought of that would be really amazing. That's a bucket list item and I'm 15. Like,
exactly.
That would be awesome. So I just Googled how to apply for a TEDx talk and kind of read this BuzzFeed article. And it said, find an event near you, apply to be a speaker. Mm. Sure, why not? Okay. I go on to a website, find TEDx Bear Creek Park, and it says info session tomorrow. Okay. I email them, we have one spot left for the info session tomorrow. Okay. I go to this session and I'm still thinking, there's no way this is going to happen. There's literally 200 people on this call right now. What am I thinking? Send in my application. I'm just like, not going to hear anything back. Mm-hmm. And then I did.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I had everyone around me saying as nice as they could, don't get your hopes up. You're not going to do it. My dad was like, I never said that. I just said that it's great to even get an interview. And I'm like, let's be honest, you were very nice telling me to not get my hopes up. And then I inevitably did the interview, terrified, got the email, you're a speaker. And in that moment, when I looked back on everything that had just happened, everyone nicely saying, oh, don't get your hopes up. Me even thinking to myself, this is not going to happen. What am I thinking? In that moment, I myself need to understand that it can. And as I did that and talked to a lot of my friends about this, because it's a pretty common thing amongst young people that we do think that we can't do anything. And in that moment, I just kind of had this rush of like, this needs to be known, that young people need to be told that we can do things as well. And that we need to understand that we are powerful despite all these horrible challenges, honestly, that young people face, we can do things. If you yell loud enough, someone has to listen. And I think I realized that in that moment. And I realized it again, actually, when I was delivering my TEDx talk, my mic stopped working. So they had to pause the entire thing. And I was like, okay. And in that moment, I looked down at the photographer and his laptop, and I saw me standing there in front of the TEDx sign. And I went, oh my God, I am giving a TED talk. Who told me I could do this? And again, I realized, wait, that's another thing. I need to understand that I can do this in order to do it. And I think that was like my biggest aha realization moment.
Grace, that's so powerful. It's almost like the universe was at work. If there was that one spot left, right? And you found it just the day before.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy string of events, because as I was sitting at my computer, I think I was watching a YouTube video on something completely different. And I just see it and I'm like, huh, suddenly my mind starts racing. And 7 months later, I'm on that stage.
I can't believe it. I was terrified, and I'm way older than you. Grace, did you know what content you would have? Had you already got it in mind what you were going to talk about?
Yeah, as I found that out, I was thinking, well, I have all of these messages about young people that I want to share. And it was just a matter of getting them out of my head onto the page. I think the voting age focus of it definitely developed a little bit later on, because initially it was mainly young voices need to be heard, which developed into why we should lower the voting age.
Who was your coach?
My coach was Tanya.
Oh, Tanya has a wonderful, wonderful way of pulling out that core message. What would you like to leave everybody with if we're going to wrap this up? Do you have a message to the young people that you're involved with? Do you have a message to us oldies?
A message to young people would just be, don't underestimate yourself ever, because that's when you start getting more underestimated than we already are. And within kind of like the ADHD community specifically, we talk a lot about like hyperfixation, special interests, that kind of thing. Mine is obviously politics and that, but if you're passionate about music or about art or literally anything, don't underestimate yourself. Just try as hard as you can, because as long as you're trying as hard as you can, as long as you're not saying, I'm never going to be able to do this, I can't do this, you'll do it. You're going to be able to do it. And that is something so powerful that once we all start to understand that, I don't care if I'm 15, I'm going to apply to give a TED talk. Mm-hmm. I don't care if literally everybody has told me I'm insane. That's not my problem. I'll do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that moment where we all just decide to do whatever we're passionate about, regardless of beliefs or views or what that passion is, the world becomes a richer place. And I think my message to older people is, don't underestimate us and don't stand in our way. We'll appreciate your support, but if you can't give that support, just step out of the way. Don't be the thing impeding us from changing the world.
Yeah. I hear you loud and clear, Grace. It's just remarkable. I'm so proud. I feel that I've interviewed somebody who is probably going to be interviewed a major, major platform one day. I just wish you all the luck in the world. For you to have that I can moment at 15 is pretty special, because there's a lot of people out there who've never had that I can moment. And for you to have that so early, I think an indication of quite a remarkable career ahead of you. Is there anything that you could say that would help your platform in any way?
I think mainly right now, it would just be kind of encouraging everyone to educate themselves. And if you can, donate to organizations that you support, because specifically nonprofits right now are really hurting because of COVID-19. So if you have an organization that you've benefited from, donate if you can. Honestly, I think that's the biggest thing.
That's a really good point. It is a struggle at the moment. We can't have our fundraisers. And
yeah, as someone who's tried to run a fundraiser during COVID, it's not exactly as easy as you would hope.
Well, you're remarkable. You think of everybody. So if you'd like to get in touch with Grace.
I always check Facebook messages if you just search Grace Synapse. And same thing with Instagram. On every social media platform, Grace Synapse, and I will try my best to respond.
That would be Grace. And Sinats is S-I-N-A-T-S. And I'm just going to say a huge thank you to you for being so inspiring for youth today and so encouraging for my generation to know that there are these wonderful young people who really care about our future in so many ways. And you're actually doing something about it. And this is one young voice I think you will be hearing a great deal of in the future.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to everyone who's listening. Please subscribe, follow, share. And if you'd like to see what the whole Dyslexic Society is up to, go to www.thewds.org. And we'd love to hear from you at info@thewds.org. I hope you'll join us to hear some of the speakers and more of the TEDx Bear Creek Park organizing and coaching team. So till next time, take care. Please stay well. And bye for now.